Welcome to the Home Church Podcast, where we bring you relevant teaching, faith conversations, and much, much more. We want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you and builds your faith.
Ed, great to have you with us for this podcast. How are you, Louise?
Doing really well, thank you.
And today's topic is Racism is Not Welcome in Our Home. Well, the title is Racism is Not Welcome in Our Home. And this is off the back of what's been happening lately, something that we've certainly been thinking and talking a lot about over the past few weeks, haven't we?
We have, yeah. We've been having a lot of discussions.
And for those that don't know, we've actually made a personal statement on this, which is up on our website, which is andrewandlouise.com. And as a church, as a church leadership team, we felt to make a very clear statement on this, and you can find that on homechurch.com. But we do want to talk about this, Louise, because it's something that's very important. And pastoring a church, which is so diverse as ours, this
right.
Just brings it really to the forefront. It makes it real, I guess, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It makes it very close to our hearts, I think.
Yeah. So, I think it's obvious to say Jesus hates racism, right?
Yes.
And so do we. Sadly, over recent years, I guess the way we've described it is we've heard, but we haven't really listened with the intent to understand. And that's,
right.
that's from a personal perspective, isn't it?
Right.
We haven't really understood the impact of racism.
Yes.
I guess we haven't necessarily denied it's there, but I guess when you're not going through it personally, which we have not,
right.
It takes a little bit more understanding, doesn't it?
It does. It's hard to actually imagine that it goes on, I think. I think that's the thing. And because we don't want to hear that those kind of things happen, it's difficult and uncomfortable to hear. And so then we just kind of go on and hope that it's not happening when it actually
absolutely.
Is.
And thankfully, right now, in I think right across the world, this is becoming an issue that people are not going to stay silent on. And
right.
us as a church, the home church family, have made that decision not to be silent on this issue and said that racism is, of course, wrong.
Yes.
So before we get into it, should we just talk a little bit about our personal journey that we've been on with our family this week?
Yeah, we've been having a lot of conversations this week with our children. You know, you may or may not know our children range from 21 down to 7. And so on different levels, we've been having a lot of just really honest conversations to at their level, really, and delve into the issue a little bit more so that we can help, you know, we can go on the journey of understanding together, really.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot of conversation because, like you say, on different levels of understanding.
Yes, it's an ongoing conversation.
It's an ongoing conversation. We're beginning to have those conversations and, you know, thankful for a great leadership team and a great advisory team that we're in the process of setting up, actually, that are helping to educate us on what exactly racism is.
Yes.
Listen, we don't know everything, but here's some things we do know and we can all agree on from the Bible. And it's this, that we were all created by God. And this is Genesis 1, Louise. You want to read that scripture?
Yeah. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them."
Absolutely. So what the scripture is saying is that every person is sacred and every person is equally valuable.
Yes, that's right.
Which really, I mean, underlines the fact that every form of racism, by definition, is to be rejected.
Absolutely, because we're all God's children and
Absolutely.
We're all created the same.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what else we know from Scripture. We know that we're all descendants from the same parents.
Right.
Genesis 3:20.
Yes, this says, "Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living." So Eve is the mother of all creation.
Yes, absolutely.
Regardless of the color of your skin.
Absolutely. We do know this. We know that we're one in Christ. Galatians 3:26-28 says, "So in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith." So you've got these Jews who convert to Christianity in Galatians.
Yes, right.
And you've got these Gentiles who are becoming born again for the very first time. And you've got the Apostle Paul trying to sort
everybody
out.
Definitely. And there's a lot of judgment going on there,
wasn't
there?
A lot of judgment.
Yeah.
I said verse 20. I'll read from the from 26. "So in Christ Jesus, we're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor are there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And the final thing I want to just kind of set up in the introduction here is that the fact that everyone is equally welcome to salvation in Christ.
Right.
Again, speaks of our equality. Mm. God loves all sinners and wants all to come to faith in his son. 2 Peter 3:9.
Our Lord is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
Yeah, I love that. All. So as a home church family, Louise, we've had some discussions and there's some things that we want to do. There's some things that we want to change. Mm. And we're going to start with the following.
Right.
And I want to thank everyone in our church that has been speaking to us over the last few weeks. We've been listening and we're so valuable to have your input from the leaders right down to every single person in the church, even some of the young people we've spoken to in our church.
That's right, yeah.
And so there's a lot to do and we're going to be unpacking a lot of things that are going to be happening over coming weeks and months. And we want to really embed this into the very fabric. In fact, I'll put it like this. Let's weave it into the very fabric of who we are as a church, this fight against racism and this fight for equality. But here's what we are going to do. There's three things. Number one, we're taking a position.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely on a journey and far from being there yet. But what we can do is take a position on racism and prejudice. And, you know, as a church, we've taken a position on a few things in the past. You know, we've taken a position on the sex trafficking of children by partnering with and supporting Love 146. And now we're taking a clear position on racism.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's almost been under our noses. And I'm ashamed to say that we haven't spoken about this before now.
Right.
And look, you know, read our personal statement. We have apologized for that and we want to make amends personally, but also as leaders of this church.
Yes.
And we want to make our position clear on racism, that it's wrong. And we're literally seeing things that we never saw before.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we both feel that silence is not an option anymore, because sometimes, you know, it's the silence that it's not that you agree, but it appears like you agree.
Yes.
So, you know, and as Christians, we have a responsibility to take a stand.
It's a complex issue, of course, but let's just be very, very clear. We are taking a very clear, we don't want anybody to be confused on this. We're taking a position that racism is wrong and we need to do something about it.
Absolutely.
And right through the New Testament, you can look at many accounts when Jesus takes a stand on things he believes strongly about.
Yep.
One of the ones that comes to mind that I've written in the notes is Matthew 21 up on the blog here. Matthew 21, Jesus entered the temple courts and he drove out all those that were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. He was angry.
He was very angry.
People who think Jesus is this nice, peaceful guy who just goes around, I don't know, blessing people, they've got it wrong.
He overturned the tables, which I just think, what a picture of Jesus just going there and like ransacking the place, basically, yes. Because he was so angry
and
with what had happened.
Shock. It's such a shock, isn't it, when we read that?
Yeah.
But he was seriously angry.
He was, yeah.
So let's be clear on this very first point. And we're speaking to every single person in home church. Let's be clear. Racism is not welcome in our home.
Right.
It's not welcome in our personal homes. It's not welcome in our church home. And it's certainly not welcome outside of our home. But we're going to begin and we're going to start by looking at our personal homes, helping you to see it and to eradicate it from home church, wherever it may be lurking in the shadows.
Yes.
And for many people, it's too late, but we're asking people to bear with us as we go on this journey together.
Yes.
Number two. So we are taking a position and we are seeking guidance.
That's right. Yeah. We're definitely seeking guidance. We're doing it quickly. You know, it's interesting. Commentator and speaker Paul Scanlon, who's actually spoken at our church, he said something that was very interesting. He said, when we believe that God is on our side and we have a God-ordained supremacy, it generationally encodes our DNA. When slavery, genocide and land theft are done in God's name, it embeds itself deep down in our implicit biases and belief systems as supremacy. Policy change, different politicians, better recruiting and training of cops doesn't touch this stuff.
Right.
We need a fundamental reprogramming, and that begins with at least some holy curiosity about what it's like to be black.
Yeah.
I don't think we could say it any better than that, really.
I love
excellent.
That.
Very
that.
Good.
And here's the thing, I have a little understanding because I've got some of my best friends are black, but really, yeah. I'm white.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, let's, anyone who's white listening, trying to understand this, you need to go on a conversation. You need to go on a journey. What
right.
We've been on this journey, Louise, haven't we, this week of really seeing that we live through eyes of white privilege.
Yeah.
And that impacts our life.
Yes.
Never really thought about it.
Never
too
thought
much before.
About it before.
And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is softening our hearts.
Yeah, and illuminating our hearts, I think, as well.
And we've got so many great advisors. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. We need to seek guidance.
That's right. That's right.
I love what Nelson Mandela said. Do you want to read his quote?
Yes, he said, no one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. It's really, really powerful.
Wow.
Really powerful. Anyone can change.
Yes.
Anyone can change.
And so let's believe that we can start building on some of the dreams that people have had in the past and play our little part.
Yeah.
So let's be clear. We're taking a position on racism, that it's wrong. Let's be clear on the second point. We will listen, we will learn, and it will be a journey about how to tackle racism in our home.
That's right.
And of course, this is wonderful, listening and taking a position, but you know, I'm a man of action. Now, I don't want to rush into anything because we've got to take advice, and I know such little on this. I don't think you can be a leader in the modern world without taking a position of humbly listening.
Right.
We're comfortable to do that, aren't we? But we want to do something.
Yes.
Because we have a voice. As a church, there's a lot of us. And together we can speak us up as a church family and help educate and eradicate prejudice and racism everywhere.
Yeah.
The system really has given us privilege.
That's right.
This nation has given us a right to speak up. So let's use it.
Yeah, one of the things that we're looking to do is pursuing partnerships with organizations that are working to end racism. We're looking into that and, again, getting advice on that as well.
Yes.
We're also really, really passionate about developing an advisory team within Home Church to help guide our leadership team, and just facilitating discussions around the issue and, again, listening and learning and finding some initiatives that we can give our time and resources to. We're very passionate about that.
Yeah. So I would just say to everyone listening who is part of Home Church, hey, just keep watching out for personal invitations, email invitations, text invitations, invitations from your gateway pastors to discussions that we're going to be hosting on this over coming weeks and months. Action on this social justice issue needs to be, in my opinion, Louise, woven into the fabric of who we are as a church.
Right.
We can't have another, let's say, it brought to the surface again and for it to go away. I mean, how many times has this happened before?
Right.
Looking back, nothing has been done about it. So we need to weave it into the very fabric of who we are.
Into our culture,
as a church, into our culture. And let's be known for it. Let's be a church that's known for it.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I think, our personal journey is we would have thought that we were doing something about it because we were inclusive, but there's more to do, right?
Oh, there's so much more to do. And I think that's been a wake-up call for us, that we can't just sit on our laurels and look at what we've done and pat ourselves on the back with that.
No.
But we've got to move forward.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Luke 10 is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And those that know the parable of the Good Samaritan, I won't read it all, but look, someone in dire straits who's hurting on the side of the road.
Right.
And the religious people walked past and they did nothing. So the priest, the Levite, but one of the enemies of the man lying on the road, the Samaritan, he was actually against the man. He stopped to help him.
And
let's be honest, I've often thought of myself in this story as the Good Samaritan, because we always like to think the best of ourselves.
Definitely, yeah. We always think, oh, we need to be like the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
But the piece of us always kind of quite self-righteously thinks that, well, really, I'm pretty much like that.
Yes. And if you're listening, can I plead with you, even if you are on this at the very beginning of this journey, like we are, and you're struggling to understand the complexities of this because you don't have black skin, you perhaps don't understand it, you've never experienced racism in this country because of the privilege that we have being white in this country. Can I encourage you just to meditate on this scripture and get, hopefully, get the revelation of the fact that because we've done nothing,
right,
that makes us the priest or the Levite who's walked by. So we haven't haven't physically done anything to hurt anyone.
No.
But by ignoring it...
We've crossed over the other side of the road.
We've crossed over to the other side of the road.
Yeah.
And so, listen, we want to be clear here. We are committed to doing something about it, about this issue of racism, inside, first inside our home and outside of home church.
Right.
So can I, shall I just recap? Yeah. Of course, the notes are up on the blog. But listen, church, I want our church family to know we are taking a position that racism is not welcome in our home. Couldn't be clearer. Number two, we are seeking guidance.
Yes, we are.
And we want this to be, I mean, guidance never stops, right?
Right, yeah, so we always have to be teachable.
We will always be listening and learning, especially now, about how to tackle racism in our home. If you've got a situation where you think you've got something that would be helpful for us to know, you want to have a conversation with us, please reach out to us and have a conversation with us. Our teams are talking, and we're talking to as many people as we can to learn about how to tackle racism.
Right.
And then, of course, number three, listen, let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's put our hands and feet to action, engage our minds, and do something about it. We are committed to doing something about racism inside and outside our home.
Right.
I think everybody in home church, look, we've got a great church. I love our church. Imagine, let's dream for a little bit here. Imagine our church unites on this and we actually do something about it. And the dream for you and I, Louise, would be that we do this journey together, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We definitely want to do this as a church, and we don't want to be out in front by ourselves leading this, but we really see it as something that we do as a church family.
100%. And we are a family. So every single person, every man, woman, child, whether you're in the youth ministry, young adult ministry, whether you're one of the oldies, whether you've got hair or you haven't got hair, you're whatever stage of life you're in, we want you to be on this journey together as a church family. And we'll do our very best. We're going to need a little bit of grace out as we make some big decisions on this.
Always.
But we're listening.
Right.
We're always approachable. Please keep praying for us. The Bible says to keep praying for one another. And I want to end with James 5:16. Would you read that, Louise?
Yes, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or righteous woman is powerful and effective."
Amen, I believe that. So let's believe, if we believe that the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective, let's do that. Would you pray?
Definitely. And I really believe that there is an awakening, because the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in this issue.
Yes.
And is awakening people's hearts like never before. And
yes,
I think that's God's plan.
Yeah. And there's some big questions out there which I don't know the answers to, like things such as, why has God allowed this to happen? I don't know the answer to that, but right now I do know there is an awakening.
That's right.
And I believe the church can be at the center of this revival of equality.
Absolutely.
And let's eradicate the evil of racism.
Amen.
From our home and from the world. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love all of us equally and uniquely, Lord, that we're your children, and God, that we're made in your image. Lord, we pray right now for any of our black brothers and sisters that have suffered at the hands of racism. We pray strength to them today.
Yes,
those
God,
that are hurting, bring healing to their heart,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that you'll give them hope. I know that they've been knocked back so many times with thinking things are going to change and then nothing happening. But God, we believe that this is a new day. And so give them hope today.
A new confidence, Lord.
Yes, give them a new confidence. And Lord, help us who are on this journey, Lord, to keep an open mind, an open heart. Allow Holy Spirit, work on our hearts constantly. Help us to be teachable and open. And Holy Spirit, illuminate our hearts. Turn the light on, so to speak, so that we can see things for what they really are. God, we're committed to this journey, but Lord, more than that, we know you are. So we know you're already ahead of us, God. And so we follow in your amazing footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brilliant. It's a good prayer. I say a big amen to that.
Amen.
Hey, listen, if you're listening and you are hurting, you want to speak to someone, please reach out to whichever pastor you know. If not, if you're unsure, just message Louise and I. And we'd love to, of course, reach out to you and help you. But listen, we're on a journey together, church. Let's do something special. Let's do something that Jesus would want us to do.
Amen.
All right. Speak soon.